The FNRAD Snowboard Podcast is presented by Vans.
Oh yeah, I wanted to be absolutely not attractive to snowboarders.
Maybe we need an injection of that, because it'd be interesting.
And I didn't sign the contract, I probably just had it in my bag for a couple months.
And we're all like, oh, that's just banging that a run.
We pushed each other to become better.
Front three tailed it.
Season 5 of the FNRAD Snowboard Podcast is sponsored by Wired Snowboards, The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, Crow's Nest Barbershops, Anon Optics, and Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, BC. Support also comes from the three local mountains here in Vancouver, Grouse, Seymour, and Cypress, who are all closed for the pandemic, and it looks like it's going to have to be next year before we get back up there. But I had a wonderful season. I rode at all three mountains. Thank you to everyone who supports the show. I just want to shout out Crow's Nest Barbershop owner John Roth. He's one hell of an individual, and I love the guy. His vision for Crow's Nest has grown into a family of barbershops that are fun to visit because their staff are great people. I've had my hair cut at their Vancouver location on Commercial Drive a couple of times, and my son gets regular haircuts there pretty often, actually. The people I've met through Crow's Nest are amazing, and the vibe in the shop kind of reminds me of what it was like to go in a skate shop in the 90s. All the staff are friendly and helpful. So if you live in a city with a Crow's Nest Barbershop, go get your hair cut and see what I mean. Crow's Nest Barbershops. Go to crowsnestbarbershop.com to check out all their locations, book an appointment, or just check out what they offer. Unfortunately, the ride for Jake at Cypress Mountain was actually officially canceled the day it happened because it was the outset of that coronavirus. Burton and Cypress had invited me to record Jake's stories on Hill for the event, and I was excited in spite of the pandemic scare. I mean, chairlifts were still running. It seems like months ago now, even though it was just a few long weeks ago. So I had made arrangements to go into work late, and there was still quite a crowd of snowboarders there to celebrate. We took a lap all together for Jake. That was super rad. And then I sat down with a bunch of Burton riders, thanks mostly to Olivia Kelly, who kept making sure everybody dropped by the makeshift podcast setup. Thank you, Olivia. And it all kicked off with an old friend, Jeff Martino, who has a long history with Burton Snowboards.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we're good. You can throw on these headphones.
Do you stay low? Do you stay at the mic?
Right at it. Okay, right at it. You hear yourself? You hear how deep I am in there? There you go. All right. I'm sitting here with Jeff Martino. You were a rep for Burton from?
Well, I've worked with the brands from 96 to 2014. So 19 years.
Holy Christ.
And 16 of those I was the territory rep manager or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah.
I can curse, right?
Of course.
Good.
The show's called fucking rad.
It's effing, but I refuse. Yeah, if you can say F, we know what you mean. You say frick, it's like, we know what you mean. Just say fuck.
Fucking rad. I called it fucking rad the first season, and I couldn't get it on iTunes, so I thought that's what it was.
People have a tendency to get pissy over swear words, which I find really weird. But anyways, super we're weird. Getting off topic.
All right, so, well, you're good.
What do you want to know? Here.
Let's see. My levels are fine. I just can't hear myself. All right, you've got a list of Jake's stories, which I think that's fucking awesome.
Well, because you said to put some together, so I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a few years under my belt. So
how are they, like, what are the names of them?
Oh, they're things like the way he dressed, bums at sales meetings, Stone Hut. Just like reminders to me to tell the stories. But
what's bums at sales meeting?
My favorite, almost other than snow and snowboarding and traveling around the world for meetings and stuff, my favorite thing with the Burton group, because sometimes we'd be rolling 200-300 deep with all the global sales force, and you'd roll into some place that I would never stay in because it's too nice and they probably don't want me. And you roll in 300 deep and you just kind of take the place over, and all the people that are the normal residents are just aghast and they're pissed.
Yeah.
And because, you know, 300 people, you take over. And my favorite part was you get all these guys just skids, right? Because we're all skids, rolling in, you know, not hitting the dress code. And then Jake would roll in and he would always be the worst dressed of the bunch. Like, he was just so chill and casual. He's always like just wearing baggy pants and a shitty old flannel or something. And like on more than one occasion, we'd go to an event where we'd booked a space privately, and they'd be like, this guy can't come in. And he'd be like, well, he's paying the bill. He owns the company, so you might want to double think that, you know? Like, But he never went out of his way to stand out. In fact, he didn't want it at all. He'd just always be in the background. So that was the bums at sales meetings. You know, I just felt like we were all these guys that were somehow, like the 15 minutes in Caddyshack where the caddies got to go in the pool.
Yeah.
That's what we were like every sales meeting. And it was my favorite thing because I'm a bit of an iconoclast, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was super fun.
Sick.
Super fun.
Sick. Thank you. Let's do one more. What was the last one? Was Stone...
Oh, the one I said, Stone Hut? Okay, Stone so Hut. There's a place at the top of Stowe Resort. It's called the Stone Hut, and I believe it's part of the Appalachian Trail. It's been there forever. Jake's kids actually burnt it down a few years ago.
Right.
It was an accident. Trust me. Jake loved the place, and, you know, because he was a bit of a player in that neighborhood, I think he got a few extra nights up there than most people, because you go in a lottery to get it.
Right.
And it was his favorite thing to take other people up there and show it off. And so he would book all these nights, and then he would give most of the nights away.
Damn.
So one year, my sales crew, my staff and myself, we won some award, and they're like, your reward is you get to spend the night tonight up in the Stone Hut. And we were all like, this is priceless, you know?
Right.
So we rode up last chair of the day. We get there. Jake's already there with a buddy of his. And this, I think, just really speaks to like who he really was as a dude. And he was like an employee of the house. He was so fucking excited to have anyone new there. He's like, you've never been here. He was making the fire. He was cutting up. I've got pictures of him cutting up salami and cheese for us. He makes these margaritas. He'd go outside and scoop a snow up and then make a margarita in it. And he was just so proud to give everybody this stuff. And you're just sitting there going like, this is really my boss. And he's just slaving away to make us comfortable. And then before you know it, he just fucks off. He goes, see ya. And he rides down the hill with his buddy with headlamps in the dark.
Oh, that's amazing.
And leaves us there for the night.
That's
and I was
incredible.
Just like, how many other bosses would do that? You know, like how many other bosses would let 1,000 people into their house every year for 25 years?
Yeah, that's mental.
It's crazy. He just, he was really personable, really good at like gifting and remembering people, and never had a Christmas without getting a gift. Like every person in the company, you know, very entertaining, very giving of his time. Like he knew what he had. And he knew that he was, you know, fortunate, and he had no issue whatsoever in sharing it. So
that's so dope.
It's pretty rad.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Next up is Mikey Rentz. I swear to God, you can actually hear him smiling on the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Right on. So I'm sitting here with Mikey Rentz.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this again, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, what a day. So we're up here at Cypress for the ride for Jake.
Yeah.
And that was a rad gathering of people, first of all.
Yeah, totally. It was semi-canceled for the
right.
for the virus, but
right. Right.
still like really good gathering.
We're in the middle of some weird
Shredder's
virus craziness right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no
right?
doubt. So technically I think it was canceled, but they were still honoring people's tickets, and we had a really good squad out here, and
yeah.
weather was nice, and I always think it's so special when you can see the ocean from Cypress too, so at least we had like...
That was dope.
Had some good weather
yeah.
and nice day.
So you knew Jake for a very long time.
Yeah,
when
totally.
Did you first meet him? You would have been a little kid.
Yeah, I think I was probably like 10 or 11.
He met with team, like the what was it called again? The little Burton
Backhill.
Team? The Backhill
yeah,
team.
Yeah,
even,
totally.
And so he would have met with people's parents and everything and been like, hey, look, this is totally legit. We're
yeah, like that was more like on the team managers and stuff. But I remember
right,
like
right.
the first time I met him, I was just in... I was in Burlington. I think it must have been like after a junior jam at the U.S. Open or something. And I was just like back with the team manager at the time. We were in the marketing office in Burton. And it was super quiet in the office because everyone was still just kind of like recouping from the Open. And I was sitting in the marketing office watching snowboard movies by myself. I was like probably, I think I was like 11. And then Jake just walked in to just hang and like watch some videos with me for a bit. And I just remember like so vividly that he had like, he was wearing a super old Canadian flag t-shirt that was like kind of super all beat up. And he just kicked it with me and watched snowboard videos for a while. And it was so sick.
So rad.
Like, yeah.
So your relationship
totally.
With him over the years was, like, obviously you're not dealing with him directly.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a team manager between you.
Yeah.
And your interactions with him are just like, oh, you're hanging with Jake today.
Yeah.
He wants to go snowboarding or...
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jake...
Team meeting.
Jake was kind of always on the fly. So, like, wherever Jake would pop up, that's where he was, you know? So, like, we had a lot of good times in Chile... with Jake, just like super randomly being there at the same time kind of thing. And yeah, like a lot of good times in New York with Jake. And
would he sled? Did he ever sled?
I haven't ever been with him. I'm sure he, like, he has one at his house and stuff, more for bombing around, but I think more for, like, snowboard access. He was definitely more like a catboard and heliboard.
There's a different pace to that for sure.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then there's a lot less peer pressure to be in zones that are so gnarly. Yeah, I can't believe where you guys ride. It's insane.
Yeah, he just likes to, you know, gets dropped off and has a sweet run. And
yeah,
that's it.
He doesn't have time for adversity in his snowboarding.
He doesn't need to learn anything new.
No, he just wants to go to the best of the best.
Yeah.
The easiest way possible. That's great. Sure. That's what I would do if I had, you know, unlimited heli budget. I would be heli. Yeah.
No doubt. He had a good program going on for sure.
Do you have a memory, other than sit and watch videos with him, that comes to mind when you think about him? That would be a good kind of story thing.
Totally. I mean, like, there's so many awesome Jake memories, just like, and they're all so random too, where, like, say we were finishing the rider round table at his place in Long Island, and just like, okay, now we're all going to, like, the Stanley Cup playoffs game in New York, or like, he'd always have crazy surprises like that where you're like, how the heck did you get these tickets kind of thing, like last minute for 15 people. Or like one time me and my girlfriend were just randomly on vacay in San Fran, and they caught wind that we were there, and Jake, Donna, UC, John Jay, they were in town to open up the new Burton San Francisco store. It was just like very random timing, and they were like, yo, like, see you in San Fran, no stress, like, if you want to swing by the shop opening. And so I go there, and like, and Jake and Donna are there, and then of course, like, Lars Ulrich from Metallica is just chilling there because he's randomly homies with Jake, and he's just like chilling on the couch. And then they're like, okay, cool, yeah, like, after this we're gonna go get some dinner. And we all hop in the car and we pulled up to this spot. And of course, it was like the same spot that me and my girl had tried to get a rezo for, like, the couple days before. And they were like, oh no, we're not booking for like 4 more months. Like, it was like that kind of spot. And then sure enough, like, boom, right into the resto. And I don't know, that was just kind of classic Jake stuff, where just things were just like randomly happening all the time, like really cool experiences. And he was always so, like, gracious and just humble and just, just such a fucking awesome
dude. It's like
dude.
If one of us got access to the shit that none of us have access to. Like you just said, like, you're like, hey, I would love to go to this restaurant. That'd be dope. But
Like, I've ever, like, actually, I kind of don't remember because I was kind of tuned up. I was on vacay. But, like, I do remember the like, when we first pulled up to the restaurant, and me and my girl turned to each other, and we were just like, of course, this is the spot, like, we called the other day or whatever. But, I don't know. He was just kind of always full of surprises, and he truly just wanted to have a good time and, like, never expected anything from anybody. Just wanted everybody else to, like, have a good experience as well.
Yeah, and he appreciated people that loved to snowboard, obviously.
Totally.
Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Mikey.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for coming.
Next up was Mark Sollers, another BC legend. Fucking sick style. Rad dude. Okay. I don't know that you and I have ever spoken in real life.
No, I was wondering about that, too.
I think we were on a text chain that Mikey, that Steve Hare put together, and then Mikey just kind of took the reins. Like, hey, we'll get back to you. And then I wound up at his place, and I think Mikel was up there at that point. And
I think that's pretty much how it went. I was in WIS and these guys were together, so you just banged those two out, and then
I didn't even get one with Mikel. When I'm with when I'm at Mikey's place, I would feel like rude being like, oh, hey, and I would also like to interview you, Mikel.
That's a time saver right there.
It is a time saver. You know what? As I get more under my belt, I start to realize you got to do the ask. You can't, like, that boy, Mikel's probably like, yeah, that guy totally snubbed me. He didn't even ask me to be on his stupid show. I hate that guy.
No, I think that's a very true thing. I think that's, like, a life thing in general where it's, you know, if you sit back, it's polite to, like, you know, obviously respect distancing and social kind of like environments, but it's, yeah, it's definitely like if you just sit back and wait for it to happen, it's probably not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. The funny thing is that I had reached out to Mikel through his Insta, and his dad is the one that manages it, and was like, "Oh, you'd be better to get in touch with them through this email." And I was like, "Okay, I gotta just like write the proper email." Are we in an earthquake right now?
No, we got somebody plowing.
Oh, they're plowing on the thing. Perfect.
Mikel's dad's amazing. He's such a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, in between writing him that message, I and talking to his dad, I see him in real life.
Perfect.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
So you're up here for the ride for Jake.
Yeah, a day for Jake.
We'll probably end up doing this every year, I think. I hope so.
I plan on doing it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you're always going to be reminded of the legacy of Jake and obviously what we surround ourselves with and how much fun we have snowboarding. So it's one of those, let's take a moment, spend a day. We had so many great people out here today that it's like, how would we not want to take a minute and just like get everyone together again, get our community together again, and just celebrate snowboarding and what he basically created.
Yeah, his name is synonymous with snowboarding.
Absolutely.
Like he didn't venture out and go into some other category. He just stayed true the whole way through 77 until now.
Yeah, like, we got 77 tattoos for him.
Yeah, sick, dude. Yeah. That's epic.
It's amazing when you see something that he basically helped start and helped create and help you know, create this community, and he dedicated his entire life to it.
Whole life.
Like, you know, like he took something that like it is a risk. You didn't know if it was going to work.
Yeah.
Like that's like insane. Like how dedicated and passionate and
how
much you feel about that.
And those first couple of years, it didn't work. Like he.
No, for sure. Yeah, it was a grind.
Yeah. So much mad respect for the guy. And he's the one guy in the industry that everybody agrees is the guy. You know, there's arguments over who invented the binding or who invented, you know, this or that technology. But when it comes to the blueprint for the best snowboard company in the world, well, there's only been one so far, you know, and he was obviously a huge part of that.
He was 100% passionate about snowboarding, the community, you know, not just his brand, but just snowboarding in general, you know, and making sure that everyone was getting together, having fun. You know, like, that's one of those things, is have as much fun as possible.
Yeah.
That was his, like, motto, you know?
Really? That's pretty rad. When did you first meet him? Were you, like, Mikey, like, a little kid? Or
No, because, like, things in my snowboarding happened later, you know? Like, I didn't move to Whistler until, I think I was, like, 17. I was doing my grade 12 up there, so that would have been, like, fall of 2003 or something like that.
Sure.
So like everything kind of happened later. Like Mikey has told stories about him being like a little kid,
11,
you know? And like exactly, and having Jake come up to him and start talking to him just like randomly on the side, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like we've had similar things. It's just like everything happened later for me. So
you were an adult by the time this stuff is going
Like the first time I ever saw him, I was a rep rider for Jeff Martino, who was the sales rep here in BC.
Yeah.
And I helped work. They had a sales meeting back in, I think it was 2003, maybe 2004, probably 2004, in Whistler. And I was just a little kid. I wasn't a part of the company in any sense. You know, I was just like
rep
a
rider.
Kid that got rep rider some stuff. And I kept helping out at demos. And I went in there and you know, Jake was doing his meetings and all that stuff. We helped set it all up. And he did the announcement, the company announcement. He was like, how fucking sick is it? We're here. You know, he's like, they left rollies on our bed pillows, you know, like, it's like, we're in Canada. And he was so hyped. It was
sick.
Like, it was so cool to see, like, you know, he runs this multi-million-dollar company, this huge, he helped create such a large sport. And he's such like a rad down to earth guy.
I keep hearing that over and over again. Like with the outlook on life of someone who's not jaded, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, I don't know, that's just, there's a lot of bullshit in the world is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And staying true to what your passion is. Nobody does that. Like very, very few people.
Yeah, I think the big thing was he returned basically the appreciation that the community gave to him. I don't know how to best describe it, but he basically appreciated what he helped do and the return that community gave to him as well. You know, he appreciated his company, his snowboarding, the people around him, everything. You know, he was so thankful and humble and modest about it, you know, like He always wanted to help people. That's what he did.
That's rad.
Any way he could have helped, he would go out of his way to help people.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any of those meetings in his office, like sitting on the couch and just like, not even a meeting, just like, oh, hey, I'm here, and he's in his office and you're just sitting there?
Yeah. I mean, I would see him pretty much every time I went to Vermont.
Yeah.
And then starting in 2012, I went to all the rider roundtables.
Yep.
Which are basically the year-end meetings in May where we sit through and the heads of every department do their announcement or like their kind of presentation of basically every single product that Burton makes.
Yeah.
And the team is there with Jake. George sat in a bunch and just we gave feedback on basically what the company was doing. Every product, you know, if they're like, and then we're doing this, and it's like, that colorway is bullshit. We need to change that. And it's like, okay, like, we got these options. Let's make changes, you know? And that was like the last line before product would go out to go into like final samples and like get developed. So that was probably like my favorite week of like the whole year, is like sitting with like five other dudes and Jake and just talking product. And
amazing.
We'd be there for like a week and just like all together playing sports, go golfing, talk about product, have drinks, go for dinners. You know, it was just like this small group that would just love snowboarding.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear about, or I have heard about a bit of like Form 8 days and you're thinking like huge salaries and everybody's like, it's wow, such a cool time. But really, you know, Raul Reese and MacDog's cool. Obviously, these guys are cool, but I don't think they got along. They didn't have a unifying, like, one guy at the top that was like, hey, let's do... Well, I mean, Form did a couple of trips that were pretty cool from what I heard, like, you know, that weren't snowboard trips, right? Like, that were, like, I don't know, some sort of...
Yeah, like, when I was a kid, I loved the Form 8. That was, like, my shit, you know? Like, Devin was, like, the biggest idol I had growing up.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, yeah, if you say, like, they didn't have, like, the one leader like Jake or whatever, but they had...
Peter, man.
They had their group, exactly. Yeah. Peter ran that, you know, and it was like their group was their strength, you know?
Totally.
Like, I loved seeing that. That was amazing to me.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of cool that Jake had this group that he was kind of the dude. He was like the guy at the top. Everybody's, you know, getting along and going on, you know, living together for 5 days, figuring out what the company's going to look like for the next year.
He's an amazing guy.
That's so dope. Yeah.
Like family, company, everything.
Yeah,
like head to toe, that guy was just like something to look up to. You know?
That's right.
Do you have absolutely.
Do you have a actual like story that comes to mind of him? That's,
I think like I got a couple, but it's like my favorite time was the first ride around table I went to. I think it was 2012, and we were out for dinner, and there was a hockey game playing at the back by the bar at the restaurant. And he kind of comes over to me, and he's like, hey, let's go have a drink and watch some hockey. And I was like, you know, like, we've met across, but this is, like, you know, some one-on-one time.
Yeah.
And we sat down, we just talked hockey. The Vancouver coach, Alain Vigneault or whatever, had just moved to, like, the Rangers, and he was, like, a big Rangers guy. So he was like, so what's he like? Like, what's the coach like? You know, like, how's he going to run our team? You know?
Yeah,
and it was,
yeah,
like, and we just, fair. Like, really hit it off, and I felt like that's what he did. He would reach out and actually connect with somebody, you know, like he would take time, and he would remember it too. Like, we didn't see each other, like, he would see somebody, connect with somebody on something, and he would see him 6 months, a year later, he would still have that in his head, you know. He'd be like, hey man, like, how's this going, you know, like, what's up, you know, like, we haven't talked about this, you know? So it's like, it was a very, like, every time he talked to you, it was a very personal connection.
Rad.
Which is like, you really appreciate, like, such a powerful, strong, busy guy. And he's taking time to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, that's got to feel good.
And not just, like, surface talk, you know? Like, he was talking to you. And that was, best dude.
Best dude.
100% best dude.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right on.
Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, you bet, dude. All right, next up is Brock Crouch, a classic California ripper who's been riding for Burton since he was 8 years old. This kid reminds me of, like, a young Roach or Salaz or someone with a lot of style and total confidence.
Yo, we have to go do those selfie videos. Alex just text me. Yeah, I'll walk over there in a sec.
All right, bye.
Yeah, what'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Some French toast and bacon and eggs.
Sick, dude. Yeah. So are you up here filming right now?
Yep. We drove up here right after the U.S. Open, and we're planning on staying here until about probably like April 20th, and then we're driving down to Peace Park in Bend, Oregon this year, and It's going to be up at Bachelor, and that's from the 22nd to the 26th. So
that'll be fun.
Very, a couple eventful months ahead.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to do this. Thanks for coming to Cyprus for the event. That's super sick.
Yeah, this is amazing. I've never been here. I've heard great things, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a super sick mountain.
It's our fun little mountain, you know. It's 20 minutes from our house, so yeah. It's epic. When did you first meet Jake? When would have been the...
The first time I think I met Jake was at one of the U.S. Opens when I was very young, and then we just saw each other and hung out, like, through just having big Burton events and hanging out at his house at the Bash and stuff like that. And then once I got in my Avalanche, I feel like that's when we really got close, because he just cared so much, and he cared. That's when I learned he cared so much for each and every athlete, individual, like... It was insane. He got a hold of everybody that was on the heli that day and sent them all these, like, nice bottles of champagne. And then he was at my house, like, 2 weeks after I got home with, like, Mark and Timmy and a couple other of our friends came over, and they all hung out one night for dinner. And I feel like that was really the first time that we started really hanging out just one-on-one, and I started realizing that he cared so much for
That's
everybody.
That's so, you know? Not the experience for most people.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, sponsors, typically you got a team manager who's trying to mitigate, like, is this guy going to come back or not? Like, Jake seems to be the guy that's like, okay, crisis, we got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about coming back. That's not a thing that we're worried about. We want your recovery to be. Did he help you get, like, specialists and things like that for helping with
with that type of stuff? They kind of were just. I remember having a talk with George and Taylor one night, and they were like, "Hey, man, like, we don't care. Like, you can go and just ride our snowboard and be a part of the brand and do whatever you want. Like, after something like this," like, they were just backing me in whatever decisions I wanted. But I wanted to go get back out in the mountains, because that's what I love to do. And he backed me 100% with whatever decision I made, and it's been great. And got to film now a lot since then, and been learning a lot about the mountains. But it was more like kind of like Red Bull that, like, was super cool.
They have,
helped out
with all the
physical therapy type of things. But
yeah, they have a team of people, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the energy during sponsors, like, how is that different than Burton? Like, is there a difference in feel there, or is it kind of the same thing?
I'm very lucky, and I ride for Red Bull, Burton, and Dragon right now, and I feel like every company, I kind of have my own little relationship with them. But Burton is definitely more of a fam. Like, I feel like they're my core. I've been riding a Burton Chopper 110 since I was like 3 years old. Yeah. You know, so
sick.
I feel like I've never not ridden a Burton snowboard. I was talking about that the other day. It's pretty crazy.
That is nuts.
Like, I'm 20 years old and have been snowboarding since I was 3, and I've only ridden a Burton snowboard.
Yeah,
so.
And there's no Mr. Bull. You know what I mean? There's like a Mr. Burton, but there's no Mr. Bull.
Exactly.
So it's like, I get it that it's a family, and now more than ever, hearing people talk about it, and having, you know, the focus be on Burton the last 6 months since Jake passed away, it's like a lot of stuff is coming out that how friggin' rad it was to be a part of that group.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's been really special. They're doing a pretty big documentary that's going to be really, really awesome, and I've had a couple times to be able to do interviews for that and hang out with them for that, and it's going to be really, really special, and it's pretty cool to see how the torch is getting held, is what we've all been talking about, is we got to just keep the torch going, and that's what he'd want us to do, you know, and I feel like we're in very good hands right now.
Fuck yeah, that's super dope.
Yeah, dude. Super dope.
So who are your guys that you look up to now? And I want to know if I would know any of them. And then I'll tell you some of the guys I looked up to when I was your age, and see if you know any of them.
Crazy, crazy story. Actually, you're probably definitely going to know who this one is. But Dave Downing is like my mentor.
That guy's the man.
He's like my dad's best friend. So
no way.
Yeah. So,
you know his kids.
Oh yeah, Dylan and Logan. Yeah. Like, and Shannon. Like.
Yeah,
super
I met
good
them at his place this year. So,
yeah, super good family friends of ours.
Sick. And so you surf with those guys.
Yeah, and he's kind of taken me under his wing and brought me up. And my favorite snowboarder is Danny Davis at this point. You know,
sick,
and it's crazy because he's like such a friend now, and I've gotten
That's
to
weird,
film
right?
with him all year this year. But like, I tell it to him straight to his face, like, dude, you do some of the craziest, coolest stuff.
And oh my god,
he's really, I feel like, saving half pipe riding right now.
I would agree with you there.
Like, it's getting to a point where half pipe riding is kind of so like just robotic, and the slope style side of things, they've been putting these pipe hits into the slope style, and they have a little more room to work with being creative, you know. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. But yeah, those are probably the two.
So I know that.
So like snowboarders.
Two of my favorite snowboarders growing up, like Devin Walsh, you'd know who that is,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. We've been filming with Leyland up here a bunch, and every sled zone you like roll over, and he's like, "Yep, Devin hit that back in 08, 06. He hit that in 2000. You're just like, what? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then say like a Jamie Lynn. Would Jamie Lynn be on your radar
yes,
with the dragon
100%.
Thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to hang out with him a lot actually up at Turning Man a couple of years ago. It was like kind of the Peace Park, but it was up at Baldface, and it was like the craziest 12 days of my life. And
yeah.
Got to hang out with him a bunch and paint, and it was
cool.
insane.
That's so cool.
Really, really cool.
So the old and the young, we're kind of cross-pollinating. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid your guys would be, I'd be like, oh, no, I don't know.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel me and Red are in a very, very good spot, and we're so thankful. It's crazy. We talk about it every single day, like getting to go into the mountains and we're both 20 years old, and we get to go into the backcountry probably more than we ride hard pack now. And
that's
like
crazy.
We still get to do these contests and stuff like that. And that would not be possible if it wasn't for Jake and what he did and who the
His
people
attitude.
He made
yeah.
and the attitude.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, man.
Because it's really hard for people to go out and just want to be a filmer or just want to do contests. You know, it's super hard. And Jake just backed us in whatever
wanted,
you know. It was insane.
He was the original guy to do that, right? With Craig Kelly left competitions at the top of competitions when nobody had done that before, ever.
Yeah.
And then he went and started, you know, filming in the backcountry, and people were like, wait, what is he doing? But they loved seeing it, so it worked.
It's
you know
just
I mean?
Like such a cool like art, you could say. You
it
know?
Is,
we
yeah.
We always talk about that. When you do like a line and you look back up at it and see one track, you're like, wow, it's like a
Isn't
cool
that the
art
best?
Piece.
Have you been going out with Mikey and Mark?
Not really, not yet. The crew's just pretty big filming for the Burton movie this year, so we're super thankful for that. That's a good thing that there's too many riders almost, but they have enough filmers, so everybody's getting clips. But I've been just going out with Leyland and Red, and Red's brother has actually been filming me and Red for the last like 10 years, so he's on the full film program, and we trust him like one of our own brothers, so it's really good having somebody out there you can trust. And then we've been going out with like Mikey Cicerelli too. And it's been insane. It's been a really, really fun go, and we're about to get 6 days of sun, so it should be good.
Well, Jake put together just an absolute, just an amazing company, and then B, just a great family and a culture that, like, any snowboarder who's a sponsored snowboarder that gets to be a part of that is in this special spot in snowboarding.
Yeah, it's cool because everybody like on Burton just all loves each other like so much. Like Ben and Mikkel and Danny and Mark McMo and all those guys are up in AK right now. And then they're about to get this like 5 day window, and they're trying to like get all the lines done and then just come here and film with like 15 people and like all just have good vibes to end the year, because it's like such an amazing year, and we're all so thankful to be able to film for this movie. It's
I'm psyched to see it. This is gonna be fun. It's a fun project. It's been a few years since they've done a solid Burton project.
It'll be super sick. Yeah, they have like 13 episodes, I think, with like Terrier's like, I think it's his like 30th year or something on Burton.
Yeah,
and
that
so
makes
They're doing like an episode on that, and then they're doing an episode on today, like the Jake Day and stuff like that.
Oh,
so It'll be really cool, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it. It'll definitely turn out
good. Do you have
any
special one-on-one Jake stories that come to mind when you're thinking about the guy?
Yeah, actually, it was the last night that we hung out, and we were at his house, and he was giving me all the shit for not drinking, because I haven't really drank too much after, or I haven't drank at all after my accident. I feel like it was just a crazy check for my life, and I feel like the last good story we had, he has this hut or this tree fort on his property in Stowe, and we went and he just like me and him talked for like an hour, and it was like by far the craziest experience. Like I was talking to, when I was flying back out there for the funeral with Mark, we were like talking about like how crazy it is. Just like all the little stories we have. But I feel like that one was definitely the best. And he was talking to me about how this movie is going to be one of the sickest, baddest movies ever made, because he was just so hyped. And yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my like really one-on-one story that'll really stick out for me, because that was like the last night we were hanging out. Well, super special.
I'm super psyched that I got to talk to you. First of all, thanks for doing that. Really excited. Let's do a full episode with you at some point when you're in the Vancouver area.
Yeah, that would definitely be wicked. I'm fun. Here for the next month. So
let's do this. Let's get that done. And it's just absolutely an honor to talk with you. A, and then B, like, I'm so glad that you're good, dude. Like, that was some gnarly shit.
Yeah,
that
was
through.
A pretty crazy experience for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, yeah.
But now we're ripping and riding on.
Yeah, man. Right on. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon. All right, next up is Mike Cicerelli. I didn't even know this, but he's an Ontario transplant, like myself. It was rad to meet him. I don't really know my demographic. I'm pretty bad at doing the, like...
So you don't really know who's listening? You know, yeah, how many.
I know how many, and I kind of imagine them all being, like, old men.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people reach out, and they're like, man, I knew that guy back when he was... In high school
the
or whatever.
Older crowd.
Yeah, yeah. But you young guys listen to me is like, wow, that's fucking awesome for me.
It's cool to get the, I feel like. Yeah, a lot of legends that I wouldn't.
Who
like
were your guys?
Martin Gallant's one was pretty cool.
He's the best.
Yeah, that was
He's sick. Just the best.
It was so funny hearing that he just rode for two outerwear companies.
How funny is that, right? Like, he is one of those guys that is a pure voice of snowboarding.
Totally, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just made his whole life around snowboarding.
Yeah, I've been to his place in Squamish. Like,
it's
he's
gorgeous,
just, like,
hey?
Has his own little oasis. And
Yeah.
It's so
rad. Yeah, he did it right. You're like, oh, my God, this guy did it right.
Yeah, it's sick.
So I'm here with Mike Cicerelli. We're on the Ride for Jake Day. Day for Jake, which I think is going to be a yearly thing. With
I think
how
it definitely...
it was this year... We should get this.
It's really cool to bring everyone together and, you know, celebrate snowboarding, celebrate Jake's life and his legacy, you know.
Yeah, and there's some crazy virus shit going on right now, and even that, it got canceled. It was still, you couldn't stop it from happening.
And we're kind of lucky that we're, you know, ski resorts are kind of like the one little, hopefully we can hold them open for as long as, because I'll be, you know, if it goes to the point where we're not snowboarding anymore, I'll be sad.
Yeah, because you've only got four people on each chair, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a good way to keep us close enough, but also far enough, you know?
Yeah. I didn't even think of it while we were in that lift line, though. It's too many people.
Yeah, no. I'm glad it still happened under the circumstances. And it's cool just seeing it, you know, all the armbands today and just people that you'd never meet before that are just, you know, have that same stoke and energy that, like...
Jake was a unifier, like, right from the get-go. Like, definitely... put together the best team ever, like from 1988. You know the guys that
from the start.
Until now, the people that are on the team are the best of the
best. Totally, and he'd be like very involved with the team, and like you know he'd be wanting to ride with us, and like it's just honestly it was just a fucking such an honor to be able to meet him and take laps with him and shoot the shit. He was it's like the larger than life. You know, it made you feel so special, even though you were just like in like godly, presence of him, you're like, wow, this is amazing.
And did you get to the point where you were like buds with him kind of
thing? I'd see him a lot, like, you know, 3-4 times a year we'd go to the Fall Bash and go hang out at his house. The Carpenter family is so generous. They open the whole, like, for Fall Bash they open their whole house to about 3,000 people. You can walk anywhere through Jake and Donna's house and like he's just like dude, come on in. Like, it's like, it's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Such a family.
Yeah, that's super rad. So when did you join Burton? How young were you?
I was 15 years old. Yeah. Yes. When I signed with Burton. So it's been, this is my eighth year, which is quite crazy. Yeah. It's a dream come true. And just the whole vibe and everyone you get to meet. And yeah, it's kind of something that I really just am so thankful for.
Yeah, being a part of Burton.
Yeah.
Being a part of the Burton team, I keep hearing it today. It's like a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think a lot of companies that I've been involved with or that you talk to,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a family vibe. They have a like, hey, we're trying to make some cash over here.
Totally,
we're
trying and to I get think that's a lot to it because Jake and Donna just held true and they never sold, you know, like they never sold to a bigger company or went public. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Why the brand's been so successful because they're just been like, it's theirs, you know, no one's having any pull in any direction. And I think it's really important because sometimes stuff can get jaded and Burton's been so true. And with how much support they do with in everything, you know,
yeah,
not just in snowboarding, but else, you know, like in events and the Chill Foundation and all that. It's like, there's so many avenues that they help in.
Yeah. That's a good point actually. Like, cause when I think of companies having like difficult transitions, it's always when they get bought or sold, mm-hmm. right?
Totally.
'Cause then the team manager changes or the team gets dropped and they start over with a new fresh whatever and you're like, I mean, it's not that Burton has the exact same team that they've always had, but Terry has been on there for 30 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Mikey Rentz is, I think, 25 years. Him and Kelly are like the longest, one of the longest people.
So it's
so cool.
Yeah, so it's definitely, You can make a career at Burton mm-hmm. and be a part of that family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like there's any pressure to do anything that's not like what you would want to do anyway.
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, I think Burton's brand is snowboarders by snowboarders for snowboarders. And we just want to snowboard. And that's what we're going to do. If it's contests, if it's filming. But like, I'm going to be a snowboard bum for the rest of my life. And I think everybody on the team is on the same kind of program. You know, we're just like, love shredding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Jake has brought to the team a lot of experiences that you may not have been able to do otherwise, right?
No, yeah, like definitely, like just the opportunities that company's given all of us. And it's really,
I just mean also like he just like surprised you guys with we're going to this crazy hockey game.
Yeah, like today, we're doing this. Like, oh man, it's crazy. I remember like even just little like Jake-isms that you'll learn. Like I remember the first time going to dinner with me and Mark McMorris, and Mark kind of tapped me on his shoulder. He's like, make sure when you cheers him, look in his eyes. Because Jake was so on it. Whenever you cheers him, he always wants you to look into his eyes. And I was like, okay, thanks, Mark. Like, I'll make sure I got it. And I was like all nervous, but it was really cool. He's just so cool and like, yeah, larger than life, like
yeah,
I said.
I would be nervous around the guy for sure.
But like, but then he doesn't make you feel nervous because he's like shooting the shit. We're talking about hockey or whatever it might be. But yeah, it was really cool.
That's pretty sick.
Have those opportunities and those moments just to, you know, like I always said, like I don't think many people can ride or share their sport with the founder of it, you know, like you don't go golfing with the founder of golfing or the inventor of golfing, but
no,
we had that chance to go snowboarding with, you know, one of the founders of boarding.
Absolutely. That's
which is
super
special.
Yeah. Do you have any particular Jake stories that come to mind if you're like,
yeah, like one of the cooler ones, I remember I was 12 years old in Snow Park, New Zealand, when that was still open. I got to meet him. Him and Donna were just there on a trip, and my mom made me. She's like, go over and talk to him. I was so scared. But, like, yeah, we took a photo. I still have that photo, and it's, like, and then for all to line up. And, yeah, we, like, remember doing some laps at X Games, and he, like, dude, follow me into the trees. Like, dude, I know the spot. And then we had to dig him out because he just, like, found this, like, little gully and was just, like, so stoked, you know? And,
yeah.
It's just that kind of energy. I hope everybody carries that like stoke and energy on forever, because he was the life of the party and just never stopped.
That's
which is
fucking
so
amazing.
Fucking rad.
That's a double sound clip for me there.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We got to do a full episode with you as well,
dude. So, I'd love that.
Yeah.
That'd
so
be so sick.
Are you here for a while? Like,
yeah. Well, now I'm not. I won't be.
Well,
traveling.
You're up in West.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can come up with the gear and we can sit down somewhere quiet.
That'd be sweet. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you too. Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Epic.
all right, this kid, Red Gerard, won the last Olympics. And I absolutely love this bit you're about to hear about energy drink sponsors, which kind of like wraps up the ongoing talk of that in a nice little box. Cool. Red, thanks for coming over, homie.
Absolutely.
I was saying to Rob, the only Olympic run that I watched, because I'm not an Olympus guy, was your run.
Oh, really? Cool.
I'm like, I think this guy won the fucking slope style.
Oh, yeah. It was just another contest, you know.
Dude, seriously, the cross court was what got my attention. I'm like, I like that. This kid's got, like, good creative style. That's dope. Like, that's the best thing.
I try to. I gotta say, it's really hard to have your own thing and whatever when you're doing contests just because, I mean, the course only offers so much. And the tricks that you're doing now is, like,
they're insane.
Man, you can only do this trick with a certain grab. Not to say, I mean, there is people that do it with a different grab and a different style stuff, but it's just so hard now. Like,
dude, you guys are at a level that when we were kids, we couldn't even imagine. Mm-hmm. We just didn't. Like, I remember watching, like, Olympics ski jumping and being like, you think we'll ever do, like, triples or whatever they were calling them at the time? And everyone was like, obviously not. Yeah. We just can't go as fast or whatever. You know, we were like, we had no idea it was going to be like this. But that run was super duper sick.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a...
I saw that in the Danny Davis cool time. Era. That was it.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool time for sure. I mean, going into the Olympics and all that, I really had no clue at all what it was like.
Didn't you swear right after two and people were like
I didn't I was like, holy shit. What I said,
and I loved it,
you know. Of course it made the news or whatever, but like rolling into the Olympics, I was like, all right, there's, you know, I gotta do the qualifiers, and at this point, like, I'm already doing the same contest, you know, like, it doesn't matter what the ending goal is or whatever, like, I'm just hyped to be in this World Cup or whatever, like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I end up qualifying, and I'm expecting, like, the Olympics to be the same exact thing, you know, but... and I totally thought it was until... I mean, the only difference was, for me, was, like, the massive stands that they had, like, football-style stands.
Yeah.
And the media after. That was it.
The media was crazy, right.
The funniest question is I get asked, it's like, well, like... You know, like, was the contest different? How amazing is it to you that you won the Olympics? It's like, well, actually, we've done 5 of these contests already this year. Like, it really doesn't mean any difference to me, you know? Like, I snowboarded the same. I did the same run.
I could see that when you said the shit. You were just like, oh, like, you kind of were like, oh, yeah, wait, there's, like, big fucking media here.
I know.
I'm like, I like this kid a lot.
Funny.
This is epic.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I need, like, dude, after that, I, like, had, like, did a whole ton of media tours, and they stuck me with I don't even know what you call that, like a media person to come with you that trains you on what to say and all that, because like
who
for me was
Mountain Dew.
They're like, hey, you can media tour. So the Olympics, I still had another event. I had Big Air, like, and slopestyle started off the Olympics and Big Air ended the Olympics.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, like, a day after that, I flew to L.A. and then to New York and then back.
Holy fuck.
And they gave me, like, this whole media crew and whatever. And actually, the media train guy, I wish I could remember his name and all that, but I, like, still stay in contact with him. He was the dopest guy.
Sick.
He was so cool.
Sick.
He was like, I know you don't want to say this, but, like, because this, like... This is like when, like, politics were... I mean, politics are always crazy, you know, but, like, Trump was saying some crazy stuff, and he's like, if this comes up, like... Don't say that, you know?
Wow, really? That's
full on
shit.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't think it's going to come up. Because I went on, like, Jimmy Kimmel and stuff, and he was like, that was the big one. He was like, just don't, you know, don't say anything wrong there.
Oh, that's fucking crazy,
man.
It
was a cool thing, man. When I look back on it, I'm like, frick, I wish I could, like, go back and actually take pictures of each thing, you know?
Right.
Remember it better.
Right, right, because you're just in a whirlwind of... All this media kerfuffle.
Yeah.
So during this time, are you talking with Jake and stuff? Jake's not calling you or texting you saying, like, don't say anything. He's like, that was epic, right?
No,
like,
no. Yeah, not at all. The only... And I actually have so much respect. It was so sick. But, like, yeah, Jake never even texted me. He never did anything, which I love, you know? Like, I thought that was the coolest thing because there was so many people texting me. It was like, you know, whoa, congratulations.
Everybody who knows you.
And I'm like, that's so much respect. And then the next day... I'm going up to watch my girlfriend compete in slopestyle because women's was the next day.
Yeah.
I'm rolling up there. I walk in this coffee shop to meet my family. And Jake and Donna are right there. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the sickest thing ever. And that's it dope. Was so cool. And I, like, talked to Jake for a while. Got a picture with him, and it was really cool. Yeah, I, like, have the picture saved and all that. But
that's dope.
It was really cool because, like, for him, he's like, dude, I don't really, you know. And I have so much, he's like, dude, I don't really care. Like, whatever, you won a contest. At least this is how I think of how he was thinking, you know. Like, it was like, oh, sick, you did get a contest. You know, that's awesome. But
yeah,
it was really cool.
So you were, did you have much Jake time?
I had quite a bit of Jake time at the Opens and all that. You know, I didn't get to know him as much as, you know, Danny and Mark and all them did, which is a bummer. But, yeah, I had time with him at the Open, and then I got invited to do this, like, heli trip with him as well.
Sick.
And it was with all the people that, all the Burton crew that went to the Olympics, like every single Burton rider. But I had to skip it because I did some Mountain Dew commercial or whatever. And it was, I remember sitting down at the Open, like, having a meeting about it.
Yeah.
And it was, like, full-on playing your cards, you know? It was hilarious. But
that's nuts.
Yeah, we did that, which I'm, you know, I definitely wish I went on that LA trip.
So, for me, I'm going to guess you're a Burton fan and probably always have been. Were you always a Mountain Dew fan, or is that just kind of, that's the money one and the Burton's the love one?
Yeah, I mean, Burton's definitely the love one. For me, yeah, I mean, I rode for Red Bull for 3 years as well.
Gotcha.
I was on Red Bull when I was 13 years old, 13 to 16.
I don't think I'd let my 13-year-old kid drink Red Bull.
Yeah, no.
I told him
I wasn't
couldn't.
Drinking it.
Yeah, I told him he couldn't.
Yeah, and that's something that so many people trip on, I think. It's like, these guys, because I remember growing up and like watching X Games half by 2007 when they used to throw them the Rockstar cans and all that and have them drink them. And I was like, there's no, like, whoa, that's crazy. They're drinking. That's such a bad look, I think, you know?
Sure.
But then I figured out that I went to one Street League one time, Street League Skateboarding, and I saw Nigel drinking one. And the Monster cans have like a water one for the athletes, like just a water one.
It's water.
I'm like,
in
oh,
a monster
this is
can.
Crazy. This
no.
is so whack. Yeah,
how
like,
funny is that?
I know.
Yeah, that's
know.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just met with Doug Palladini, who's the CEO of Vans right now, but he used to run Transworld.
Yeah.
And he basically told me, and I wouldn't have ever known this.
Yeah.
That the magazines weren't built around the readership. Like there was never really any thought about like
around,
the people
like,
who are reading it. It was 100% advertising. They build the magazine.
Dude, and that's
to sell
all magazines
the
now. You know, it's you look nuts, through it, it's like Vans Boots right here, Burton this or whatever. You know, it's like,
and
you
as
know,
a,
I get it. I completely get it.
I get it too.
Like,
but as a consumer, like as a kid, dude, who you're flipping this. Through to the editorial stuff, right? You're looking like, oh shit, that's cool.
Totally
oh, that guy got a sick shot. Yeah. Oh, that.
Like, I want to read what, you know, he's saying about this photo.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
What
no,
a weird
I'm not,
industry.
But when I made like the switch over to Mountain Dew and all that, I was more just like, I was like, dude, this is so sick. Like, I, you know, whatever, energy drinks, it's crazy, all this stuff and all that. But I was like, I'm going to be on a team with just me and Danny Davis on the snowboard side. And I'm like, I'm all about that. And they're awesome to us. They're
sick.
So great, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Anybody that's investing money in snowboarding, we got to give them props because that's dope.
Absolutely.
And then when you take it to the extreme, then you've got Burton and Jake and his philosophy with the company was like rider-driven all the way.
I know.
Like bottom of the top.
Yeah.
Super sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have any personal stories with him that come to mind?
I'm sure you've already heard this one probably today, but yeah, I mean, the one, like I said, I didn't get to know him that great, but the one story I do have with him is like, it was US Open 2017 or something, and he took us, it's like middle of practice, and I remember, because there's like US Open, you do practice for 3 hours, then a lunch break, like an hour hour off, and then more practice from 1 to 3, and I remember, like, our TM at the time was Frankie Chapman. He's like, yeah, Jake wants to take us to this place, like, in the middle of practice. I'm like, oh, middle of practice? Like, what the heck, you know? But, yeah, so he takes us to this place. We, like, go up, like, 3 chairlifts up on Vail, ride through the woods, and all of a sudden this cabin out of nowhere, like, this cabin, and he hired some chef or whatever and made us a great meal, made us a great lunch and all that. And that was really special to me because – you know, at the time, I really didn't get to know him that great, and it was really cool to have a personal memory like that.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole Burton team. I mean, the whole Burton team was there, so it was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
To me.
So sick, dude. Yeah. Thank you for doing this. Yeah. Are you in town for a little bit? We should do a whole episode about your life and how fucking rad it is to be a gold medalist that doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like, dude, I'm super down to do it. I kind of like being able to hear your voice right in my ears. I'm not, like, second-guessing any words. I can hear it full on.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm done.
That's why I do them in person. I used to do them over the phone, and there's a delay, so, and it fucking sucks.
I know. I did one over the phone with the Snowbird Project.
With Solomon.
Mark, yeah. And it was good, but, yeah, the, you know.
I like what he's doing. I'm a fan of his show, but I can't do it over the phone. It fucking sucks.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah,
thanks.
Totally.
Talk soon. Okay, so I reached out to Terrier, Duck Boy, Mike Jacoby, Jason Ford, and Jeff Brushy for their Jake stories, and everyone but one of those guys agreed. And then I dropped the ball on setting up the calls. Full disclosure, I've started drinking again with this pandemic. You know what? I'm not going to say just that. I started drinking in Mexico with my wife because we were on vacation, and I thought, yeah, it's mellow. I'll just drink while I'm on vacation. Then we came back. The pandemic happened. I don't know. I felt like maybe it's the end of the world, so fuck it. I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I feel like. So I started eating a lot of chocolate, and I bought, like, slices of cake from, like, a cake store for real. Like, I'm just going all out with the, I don't give a fuck. I haven't been stretching, no exercise. I didn't even go to work, and I've just been lazing around. You know what I mean? I have not been, like, taking care of business. So, honestly, it would have been better for the show if I'd done some work instead of slacking off, but maybe it just means I'll do Instagram live videos with those four for their stories. That'd be fun for me, I think. And I saw Matt Barr from the We Look Sideways podcast this morning do one, and I was like, this is fucking rad. And just a heads up, we're thinking about doing another Wired custom board raffle. Actually, before this bout of laziness, I planned on making stickers and doing a Wired raffle where everyone who enters gets a limited edition fucking rad podcast sticker. Wouldn't that be awesome? It won't take much to get me to do this. So a couple of you guys reach out on social media. Let me know you're in. And be sure to come back next week for another episode of the Effin' Rad Snowboard Podcast, presented by Vans and brought to you by SIA Productions.